Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's our 817th day together in the Word of God, and we're in Job 24. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this book of Job. Thank you for every part of your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to speak to us day by day. Please write Job 24 on our hearts. Please help us to see the need for justice in the world and to long for the coming of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Job 24. So Job's in the middle of a discourse here where he's responding to Eliphaz, and he's saying, Eliphaz accused him of awful, horrible sin, and he just sort of pushes that aside and is like, look, if I could talk to God, I know that I'd be vindicated because I actually treasure his words more than food. I walk in his ways sincerely, but I want to be vindicated. Well, 24, the continuation of this speech, continues by showing why else Job wants there to be a judgment day, a day of vindication, a day of wrongs made right. So here it is, Job 24. Why are not times of judgment kept by the Almighty? And why do those who know him never see his days? Some move landmarks, they seize flocks and pasture them. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox for a pledge. They thrust the poor off the road, the poor of the earth all hide themselves. Behold, like wild donkeys in the desert, the poor go out to their toil seeking game. The wasteland yields food for their children. They gather their fodder in the field, and they glean the vineyard of the wicked man. They lie all night naked without clothing and have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the rain of the mountains and cling to the rock for lack of shelter. There are those who snatch the fatherless child from the breast, and they take a pledge against the poor. They go about naked without clothing, hungry. They carry the sheaves among the olive rows of the wicked. They make oil. They tread the wine presses but suffer thirst. From out of the city the dying groan, and the soul of the wounded cries for help. Yet God charges no one with wrong. There are those who rebel against the light, who are not acquainted with its ways and do not stay in its paths. The murderer rises before it is light, that he may kill the poor and needy. And in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer also waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me, and he veils his face. In the dark they dig through houses. By day they shut themselves up. They do not know the light, for deep darkness is mourning to all of them, for they are friends with the terrors of deep darkness. You say, swift are they on the face of the waters. Their portion is cursed in the land. No treader turns toward their vineyards. Drought and heat snatch away the snow waters. So does Sheol those who have sinned. The womb forgets them. The worm finds them sweet. They are no longer remembered. So wickedness is broken like a tree. They wrong the barren, childless woman and do no good to the widow, yet God prolongs the life of the mighty by his power. They rise up when they despair of life. He gives them security and they are supported, and his eyes are upon their ways. They are exalted a little while and then are gone. They are brought low and gathered up like all others. They are cut off like the heads of grain. If it is not so, who will prove me a liar and show me that there is nothing in what I say? Well, very briefly, what we see here in Job 24 is Job crying out for judgment day for the punishment of the wicked and the deliverance of the oppressed. In 23, we looked at yesterday, Job was wanting the vindication of the righteous, those who hold fast to the ways of God, those who trust the Lord, to be vindicated. But here he's looking more at the actions of the wicked who do seem to get away with it in this life. There's no kind of equitable justice, punishment, consequence that seems fitting to the crime of the wicked in this life, at least not consistently. Yes, there are times when people do foolish things, wicked things, and they fall into their own trap and they suffer from their own decisions. That happens, but not all the time. We know that. Sometimes the wealthy people, the wicked wealthy oppressors, we should be clear, not all wealthy people are wicked and oppressors, but the wealthy wicked oppressors, sometimes they move landmarks, they seize flocks, they drive away the donkey of the fatherless, they take the widow's ox for a pledge. It's a gross violation of justice. They thrust the poor off the road. They just roll over poor people who are powerless to stand in their way, and nothing seems to happen to them. There doesn't seem to be anything of consequence that happens. And so Job is saying, if God is truly just and God is truly sovereign, then we need to see his hand. The end of verse 12, he says, yet God charges no one with wrong. So this, I've said this before in Job, this is one of the major messages of this book. It's one of the major messages of the Bible. If there's no final judgment day coming, if there's no eternity ahead of us where those who trust in God are vindicated and are brought into paradise, into the new heavens and the new earth forever, and those who have rejected God, those who have willfully despised his law, those who have oppressed the poor, if the wicked are not judged forever, if that doesn't happen, then there's something fundamentally wrong with the character of God and the nature of his justice. That's what Job is saying here. So again, what we see Job is he's an Old Testament saint. He's living well over 1,000 years before Jesus, probably closer to 2,000 years before Jesus. He doesn't have nearly as much knowledge as we do. Probably Job and his friends had no scripture that we're aware of. They just had an awareness of God that was given to them by grace. That's the best evidence. They don't call God Yahweh. They don't use the covenant name of the Lord. They don't directly quote scriptures, but they do seem to have an understanding of God and of justice. Because as Romans 2 tells us, even those who don't have the law have the law of God written on their heart. And even those who don't have the scripture know that there's a God who's eternal in power. And so Job and his friends are true believers, or Job is at least a true believer. And so he knows, he's crying out with a need. Something has to be done to those who rebel against the light, to those who murder, to those who kill, to those who are adulterers, who are unrepentant. They don't trust God. They're never broken. Something has to happen. And he's right. And Jesus will come again and will judge. It's become very unpopular. In contemporary Christian circles, we almost sort of reduce the gospel to, if you're struggling, if you're lonely, if you're feeling down and rejected, Jesus is a friend. You can cry on his shoulder. He'll put his arms around you, make you feel better. He'll help you through whatever it is you're going through. You know, that kind of thing, we call that the gospel. That's not really the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus is Lord and that he has provided real salvation for those who trust in him. Salvation from sin and death and eternal judgment, which means for those who are not in Christ, for those who continue to rebel against God, for those who continue to choose their own selfish ways, sin and death and eternal judgment are coming and they are real. That's part of the gospel. We need to believe all of what God says and not just try to make it sort of a warm, fuzzy blanket that you can wrap around you on a cold night. The gospel is the truth of God in all its fullness. And that includes a needed, a necessary judgment. Because in this life, sometimes murderers get away and they die of old age and natural causes. Sometimes in this life, dictators and oppressors get away with it, and they die of old age and natural causes at peace in their beds. But that will not be the last word. King Jesus, the judge of all the earth, will do right, and he will have the final word. Father, we tremble at your holiness and your justice, and we are so thankful that Jesus is our Savior. Help us to cling to Jesus and tell the world about Jesus, Help us to love what is good and to hate what is evil, knowing that you are pure and holy. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Job 24. Tomorrow, another short New Testament book. This one's the book of Philemon on tap for tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.